Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
A very busy day for plumbers. And if maybe some things went wrong at your home that I can help you with this morning, then all you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call, 877-213-4LOU. Good morning, Lindsay. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
I did.
Yeah.
I had a lovely thing. Yes,
yeah.
Very
Andy and Don, lovely. How about you, gentlemen? Nice Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. Very well. Very nice.
Good morning. Very nice. Good morning, Lou and Lindsay. Yeah, Thanksgiving was lovely.
And like our house, we had a nice crowd at our house, and we had too much food. And now that everybody's gotten older, meaning kids and everybody, they're not eating as much of the staples that you cook on Thanksgiving. So we could have had more vegetables, right?
Mm.
I posted, you know, what are turkeys most thankful for on Thanksgiving? Vegetarians. And
nice.
So boom boom. And so anyway, we could have done a little bit heavier. My wife makes this Brussels sprout squash thing that we did on the grill outside, and it's delicious, and it was like the first thing to go.
Wow, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds good.
Yeah. And I know Lindsay did not have a turkey sandwich because she's a vegetarian, but did anybody have the proverbial turkey sandwich Friday morning or Friday afternoon?
I did not.
I just mashed up a bunch of turkey and potatoes and just had gravy on that Friday afternoon.
It is, Lindsay, I know that you really don't care, but it's the thing of Thanksgiving is the best. About 2 o'clock, I started doing some decorating for the holidays outside, and I came in, I'm like, ooh, I could eat something, you know.
Ooh.
And I took a piece of turkey and I actually sliced it in half, so the one piece turned into two, and I took one piece of bread and a little bit of mayonnaise, and I put the turkey on the bread, and I sprinkled just a touch of salt, and I folded it up, so I had like a half a turkey sandwich. Oh,
nice. That's great stuff.
Best.
Sorry, Lindsay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love vegetables, but they don't, like, leftovers of turkey, they just don't really speak the day after. Like, you don't want a salad the next day, you know, it doesn't get better.
My 7-layer salad was great the next day.
Was it?
All right.
Can I tell you one thing, too? So this is a secret. My husband's still sleeping.
Oh.
The four of us, our family, stayed home this Thanksgiving and just did our own thing, which was very nice, quiet, but, you know, that means I have to cook everything, and we have four very different eaters in this house.
Mm. How did you prepare the chicken nuggets?
I know. Well, we actually put them in the oven and not the microwave.
Oh, wow.
It was a big deal.
Wow.
No, but so we had, crispy. I like sweet.
Mommy, what, these taste different. They're crispy. Oh, yeah, that's what they're supposed to taste like.
It's totally true. So sad. The potatoes. I like sweet potatoes, and my husband likes the regular mash.
Sure.
And he loves his sister's mash. Like, they've got to be his sister's mash. So I'm like, okay, honey, I'll get those. So I got the recipe, and I'm like at the store and going, I'm talking to a friend of mine going, gosh, I've got to make all these food, and no one's going to eat it, but it's a tradition. And she goes, Bob Evans. Get the Bob Evans mashed potatoes.
In the box?
It's a life changer.
In the box.
I'm like, oh, you think so, Michelle? You think? So I put him on my cart. I put him in the pot. Because if I told him beforehand.
Well, of course not. Right.
Then he would have been like, oh, no,
right,
those are gross.
Right,
so
right.
I put him in the pot. I pretend like I whipped him up. He ate them. Loved them.
These are like my sisters.
And I never
told him
the truth.
Your sister makes potatoes out of a box.
I was going to say that's what her sister does.
Old sister Bob Evans.
Secrets out. Secrets out.
Right. No, those are good.
And I took all the glory.
I don't think I've ever had mashed potatoes out of a box.
They were delicious.
Wait, so what is it? Is it like a cake batter? Like when you open the box?
It's in the refrigerator.
Like you're making a Duncan Hines cake.
Not even. I don't even do that.
Scoop it from the tray.
I'm speaking a language that you don't know. Keep going.
You peel back the tray or the bowl, and then you take a spoon, and you either put them in the pot to warm them, or you put them in a bowl to put them in the microwave to warm them.
Just transfer containers. That's it.
Don, you have experience with the box mashed potatoes?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, those are great.
So is it like dehydrated potatoes? Like, I'm so...
I don't know.
Mean, yeah, I'm not...
But they were amazing.
They are very good. Soft, texture.
That's hilarious. And David loved them.
And I never told him. I said, oh, thanks, son. I nailed it.
That'll be like on your 30th wedding anniversary, you can say, "And honey, by the way, now that you have no teeth,
these have been Bob Evans the last 30 years.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday as well. Very different from the one we had last year. Hopefully we keep going in the right direction. And all I'm going to do is be able to help you this morning. 877-213-4LOU is the number. Let's go to the phone lines now and speak with, Jim, who's in New Jersey. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How may I help you?
I have, I'm trying to take care of squeaky steps that I have that lead from my first floor to my second floor. And they are, it looks like, you know, the floor itself on the main floor is parquet. It looks like the steps are parquet, but they are one piece. So they're not pieces that have been glued together.
It's like a tread.
And I can't access, right, and I can't access the bottom of the stairs to resupport them at all. So I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for me.
And if you, when you walk on these stairs, does it feel like it is... the squeak is on the actual parquet tread, or does it feel more like it's... Because if it's a parquet tread, there is a wood-framed tread underneath it. Can you kind of tell where the squeak is coming from, or not really?
Well, no, it's hard to tell.
Okay.
There is some quiet spots that I've...
And is it... Well, let me ask you this. Is it every step, or just in a certain spot?
Are you asking me if it's just certain areas?
Correct. Is it one step, or is it you know?
No, it's pretty much all of them.
Okay, and no access whatsoever from below?
No.
Okay. So the only way that you're going to try and quiet this down, if you can imagine how the steps are built, more than likely you have two stringers. You have, as you're standing in the staircase looking up, all the way to the right and all the way to the left, coming in about an inch and a half on both sides, is the actual stringer that's holding the treads and the steps going up, okay? Now, you can buy these 3-inch long, what's called cabinet screws, and they have a kind of a rounded head on the top of them. They're actually designed, if you were putting in a kitchen, you would use these screws to screw cabinets together before you hang them on the walls. And the idea behind the head is it goes in, it penetrates the wood right at the face of it, and doesn't, it's rounded so it doesn't puff it up at all, but it holds it in place, but then it creates a small little hole that in cabinet making you would then patch with a little rubber cap. In your case, you would take this 3-inch screw on that inch, coming in from the side about an inch with a screw gun, and you'd screw kind of down but slightly at an angle going out, and try and go through the parquet, through the sub tread of the stair into the stringer. And you're going to put two on one side, two on the other, and you're just going to bury that screw just below the top of the parquet. Quite frankly, you may get done with that and not even see that you need to patch the hole, but if you did, you would just take a little putty and patch it. And that is the only way that you are going to be able to try and, quiet this down a little bit. And there's no guarantee that it's going to work.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm kind of hesitant to screw into this step because it's such a nice finish to them.
Here's the thing, Jim. I mean, the head is so small that honestly, when you put it in there, if you're careful, you may not even know it's there because you're going to be off to the side, and it's at least worth a try on one of them.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I'll try it on one step, somewhere inconspicuous. I'll see how it comes out. Hey, thanks for your help. So
you
much.
Got it. Happy holidays. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back right after this. Hello, Ralph.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm starting to lose you here. I don't know what's going on, but at any rate, if you can hear me, I have a house on a sandy crawl space.
Okay.
And I was wondering, when I was raking some leaves on the outside of the foundation, which is only two blocks of the footing, I noticed holes on the outside. So I said, uh-oh. So I figured they're tunneling under. And when I was under shutting some of my faucets off under the house,
yeah,
I noticed some inside holes. The holes are about the size of a half dollar, maybe to a silver dollar. You know, nothing really big like a cat or a dog. But at any rate, I was wondering, is there any kind of a spray? I have a good pump sprayer that I could maybe saturate or seal off the sand. It's a lot of sand under there. It's all sand, in fact. And I was wondering if I could put some of that on to kind of either deter them from coming under. I have used bait traps on the outside.
Right.
And I was just wondering, I don't know if I'm getting them or not, or they're going right out and dying. I just didn't know if they would die inside and stink up the house.
Right, right, right. Do you close this place up for the winter?
No. We live all year.
All year, okay. And do you have access to the interior? I'm assuming it's a crawl space inside.
Yes.
Okay.
From the outside, I go under. There's no trap door or anything. It's
got
just,
it.
You know.
And what do you like? You got to crawl in there? You got to crawl in there?
Yes, I have to. Yes.
Yeah, that's not easy as we get a little older, Ralph. But I understand what you're talking about. So, what I would do is this: there are some repellents that you can use in the crawl first. You may have heard me talk about it's more than likely it's rodents, and this time of year they're working their way in. Go buy a couple.
I can't blame them.
I'm sorry?
I said, I can't blame them. I'm looking to stay in myself.
Right, exactly. You're going to use the door. You're not going to come in through the hole. But take, there's a product called Bonide Mouse Magic.
Bonide, right. Got it.
Oh, okay, and it is, they make these sachets, and buy a dozen of them, and when you crawl inside there, toss these things around the perimeter of the foundation if you can. It has a pleasant smell to you and I, but the rodents don't like it. And this will, and so then this is a combination of a 1-2 punch that I want you to do. I want you to use the repellents, and then I want you to use some bait around the perimeter of the home where you see these holes. And I don't want you to fill the holes just yet. I want you to take some newspaper and shove it into the hole and have the bait on the outside of the hole. Now, tomorrow, when you come and check the paper, maybe you see that the paper has been pushed out of the hole. That means the rodents are leaving. Hopefully, you then see that they're eating the bait, okay? And then you're going to stuff more paper in and then bait it again. And then maybe the next day you see the same thing again. When you don't see the paper coming out of the hole, then we have a pretty good chance that the rodents expired outside, not inside. Then you can use an expandable foam. There's one that Great Stuff makes that's specifically for rodents, that they add a flavor to. The rodents will still chew like the expanding foam, but they added some like shards and like a flavoring to it that rodents don't like, and they won't eat it. And that will fill the gap.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, so you're kind of like, these are tried and true like streets and sanitation methods for trying to eliminate rodent problems. And if you're patient, you should be able to solve this problem, and then you can stay warm inside without the rodents.
I appreciate it, Lou. So I'm going to look for Bonide in the newspaper.
There you go. Right, find the newspaper. That's the next thing. Correct.
All right. It sounds feasible. So I'm going to have a go at it today. At least to clear out.
Yeah, it is going to be clear. So it'd be a good day to give it a shot, and then give it a couple of days, and then get back to me in a week or so, and let me know what happens.
I sure will. I appreciate the call, Lou.
You got it. Be well. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. When we come back, we're going to get to more of your phone calls. Also, I was thinking that during Thanksgiving, you know, we had our Noodaloo 2 from last week, the foam product. It was a big hit with certain members. It caused quite.
Really?
Yeah, it was not a. It was, you know, we try to avoid the political discussions at the turkey table, right? So we talked about how to keep your bum clean. And the vast majority of the consensus was it's a good product, foam. And we were joking last week that I wish that it made a little sound when you squirted the foam on it. And Lindsay sent that to the people that make the foam, and they thought it was hilarious. And so they took their video, and then they sent it back to me. And sure enough, when somebody puts their hand under the foam thing, it was, yippee!
Awesome.
So good.
All right? That's great. I mean, yeah, you got to send that to Don and Andy. It was pretty funny. All right, House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, 877-213-4-LOU. More of your phone calls coming up right after the break. Hi, good morning.
Connection. How you doing, Lou?
Good.
Good. Hey, I've got a leak.
Okay. Let's figure out how we can stop it.
So we moved into a house 15 years ago. It was new construction. We have a small bay window in the front of the house. The leak is 2 feet back from the bay window. In the center, it leaked. The other people that have the same house have the same leak.
Okay. Now, when I'm looking...
Two doors down, has the leak.
When I'm looking at this...
The guy across the... I'm sorry?
When I'm looking at this bay window, is there a second story? Is there a second story above it?
Second story above it. There's a bedroom up there.
And no bay or anything up there. So this protrudes out, and does it have a little roof? Is the roof made of shingles? Is the roof made of tin?
It is made of copper. Not real copper, but copper-colored metal.
And then the exterior of the home is siding, brick. What is it?
Brick.
Okay.
Second story is like a masonite board. It's a Tudor-style house.
Oh, okay. So it's brick, and then it goes up. So I'm looking at the bay where the copper is connected, or the fake copper is connected to the knee bone. No, where it's connected to the wall. That goes into brick, but then it goes up a little bit, and then there's like a little sill, and then it transfers into siding?
Correct.
Yeah, so that's where the fun is happening right there. So my guess is, so this is long-term, what happens is when we start to, in any, if you're ever going to become a builder, okay, I had this rule that an old-time builder, when I was doing it, gave me this advice when I was a young kid in the business. He said, dissimilar materials are not the way to build a house, meaning that if you're going to build a brick house, build a brick house. If you're going to build a frame house, build a frame house. When you mix materials, brick and siding, it isn't that you can't do it, but long-term, everything moves differently. The brick moves differently from the siding, and the so this is 100% a flashing issue. And my guess is where you're getting the water, based on what you're describing and all the neighbors, is that transition between the siding and the brick and the flashing that's there. Water's getting behind there, getting channeled onto the floor joists and or the ceiling rafters of the first floor, one and the same, and it's traveling and coming down. Now, you could open up the ceiling to verify all this, but I bet if you were to get a siding, if all the neighbors are having this problem, because nobody wants this job, Jordan, right? No contractor wants this job. But if you gave this job to, if you said, hey, I've got my house, the Joneses over here, and the Andersons over here, we all have the same problem. Could you come out and spend the day and fix it for us? And they would probably do that.
Okay. So you guys advertise one of the roofers, and we've had them out a couple of times, and they've been fantastic. And he looks at the roof, and he says, hey, there's nothing wrong with it. And he looks at the flashing, and he gets up there with a ladder. He's been up there with a hose. I've spent a considerable amount of time with a hose trying to get it to replicate.
And you can't.
I can't do it.
Right. So it's not it isn't a leak that happens all the time.
No, the wind's got to blow a certain way.
Right.
It's got to be a certain, like everything has to be perfect.
Right.
and then all of a sudden it starts leaking.
Yeah, that's the worst. I mean, here's the thing. I get all that, and I think that what they can look at is, you know, what they can see on the outside of it. They can say, yeah, this all looks good. It all looks nice and tight. But mm-hmm. what you're describing to me 100% sounds like a flashing issue. And it's either occurring. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, what does, and I think I'm, you know, as you're describing it, the bay window does not extend above that much the ceiling, correct?
Correct.
Right. So if it was leaking at that flashing point, it'd be highly unlikely that it would come across the middle of the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So the water must be coming from above that, which, based on how you're describing, the only way that this is going to get solved is that siding that's above the bay needs to come off. The sheathing of the wall needs to be exposed. Evidence of water damage or whatever that might be there should be there. You can hedge your bet by also opening up the ceiling inside to find out exactly where it's going. I mean, this, you know, this is not, unfortunately, Jordan, this is not, hey, I'm going to come over there with a tube of caulk and we'll solve the problem.
Right.
Because, as you mentioned, this has been going on for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, go ahead.
Let me clarify one thing. So it's not siding. It's like a Masonite board, which then has
battens,
wood framed around it.
So it's board and battens. So you've got the Masonite board, and then you have vertical battens going up and down.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a leaker. that's a leaker from the day that got put in. I mean, I used to build houses like that, and I was a young builder back then, and I was like, I just don't like this design, because you put the Masonite together, and what you should be doing is flashing behind where the Masonite goes, behind it first, and they didn't do that. And then when you put the board over the top, there should be flashing under that and caulked, and they didn't do that. And, you know,
okay.
So it's involved. No question. But you know, you want to test this theory out. I mean, you're not going to like how it's looking, especially going into the holidays, but you could have somebody put up temporary boards and or a tarp on the side to cover the you know, the thing is, you're going into winter, so uh-huh. it's probably not going to work. But you could literally tarp and temporarily flash underneath there to see what happens above that point, you know, like halfway up the wall, and let it sit there for a month or so, and I bet it won't leak. Now, also the other risk, as you mentioned, is it won't leak because the atmospheric stuff's not right. You know what I mean? Like, just, right. you know, the uh-huh. wind's got to blow. It's got to be a certain thing. You probably go 6 months where it never leaks, you know, because it's just not correct. That kind of rain. So, yeah. unfortunately, right. Jordan, it all has to come apart, and then you got to put it all back together.
Excellent. That's what I was hoping you would say.
Well, okay. Well, you must be drinking already. It's pretty early, but it's a big job, but you need to get it fixed, because the other thing, too, is, you know, this can be a mildew and mold thing. We're talking about the health of the home, and so it's not sexy. Uh-huh. It's not a new quartz countertop. It's not new stainless appliances, right. but it is what it is.
Who do I call?
Cobblestone Remodeling. You're in the Chicagoland area. For my New York listeners, this is somebody calling from the Chicago area. 773-661-0606.
773-661-0606.
You got it.
And you said Cobblestone?
Cobblestone. They are also the parent company of a company that was started by them, Siding One, Windows One. Long story, but they're back under the helm of the right ownership that is going to take good care of you. New ownership.
It's fantastic.
Jordan, right. I appreciate the phone call.
Very much.
Yeah, you got to have a happy holidays. 877-213-4-LOU. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. I'm well. What's going on, sir?
Okay, I have an oil burner or boiler that supplies hot water to the house. And what seems like every 2 months I have to clean those coils. It keeps getting clogged. Now, I have a well, and I have a neutralizer on the system. So I'm thinking that it clogs those coils.
You have an oil burner. The coils are getting clogged with... From the you got a closed loop system, correct? The water.
What you mean? The boiler has that supplies the hot water. Now, right?
I'm sorry. Okay, so you have an oil. We're talking about the domestic hot water that you're using. You have an oil burner that is not only your boiler for heating the home, but also the oil burner is heating the water for the. For the showers and whatnot.
Right, correct.
Got it. Okay.
So every couple months, I got to clean those coils because the hot water goes down to nothing. No pressure.
Yeah.
So I was thinking it was the neutralizer because that's the only thing on it, on the water supply.
So these coils on the tank. Are you able to, there's a bunch of different, is there a cover you can access the coils?
They're inside the boiler. It's that, you know, instant hot, I guess you call that.
So you pull those out?
No, I run acid through it with an acid pump. Hmm. And then it takes about a half hour and then get the pressure back.
And how old is this system? How old is this system?
It's about 10 years old, and it used to happen on the one before it.
Same thing.
I had an old one that was there for a lot of years.
Right. So. I'm just thinking it's a water. So then it's, okay, so the neutralizer makes sense, but I almost wonder, and let me ask you about this, the water quality in the home in general. Do you drink that water? Do you just use it for? So the quality of the water is good as far as you're concerned.
Coils. Say that again.
The water quality in the home itself is good.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Does this tank have an anode rod?
I don't know. Remember, it's inside the boiler, burner.
Right. So it's inside.
So I know. I heard you could change them if they go bad. I don't know at what cost.
But. Right. So my guess is, if you're having to clean this all the time, I mean the neutralizer. I'm unclear about if that would be the effect of this, but in that small tank that's heating the water, there should be an anode rod in there. That probably is either disintegrated and gone, and it's probably the type of thing that you need to get a boiler person out there because they're going to have to drain the system down. They're going to have to get the right rod based on the water quality of your home. And literally, on the exterior of the holding tank, there's a nut. And that nut, when it comes off, a rod should pull out of there, and that should be attracting all the metals and whatnot and keep the coils clean. That's its job. And it could be that whatever the water quality is, you know, typically what happens is, you know, when you hire boiler people that are familiar with a certain part of the country or, you know, certain region because of the waters, they'll tell you, hey, you know what, Dan, these rods, you got to replace them every 3 years because they disintegrate. You know what I mean? They'll just tell you that. And it could be a maintenance thing that you have to start doing. But my guess is it's a rod. And if you clean the coils and replace that rod, you should be able to at least stave off having to do this, you know, every few weeks or few months. And maybe it's the type of thing that it's every few years that you change the rod and you're good to go. Appreciate the phone call. Just bumping up against time here. 877-213-4LOU. Quick break, and we'll be right back. Did we get into any, you know, we're in our safe zone with the family?
Yeah, totally safe zone. Yeah, we never strayed. It was pleasant.
Andy?
Safe zone, yes. I was with the girlfriend and her family, and we were reminiscing about old stories, things of
that's
nature.
That's good.
Yeah.
How long have you been dating this young lady?
A little over 2 years.
Ooh.
Yeah. Almost two and a half.
Yeah, and is your family saying, Andy, what, you know, what's taking you so long?
Well, they've been saying that to me for 20 years. So what's different about today?
Yeah, you say, and you just tell them, I am a prime piece of, I'm a catch here. And
yeah.
You just got to make sure.
That's right. Sure. I believe it, don't you?
I do. I'm saying it. I'm saying it. I'm truthful. I've known Andy a long time.
Yes.
He's a fine young man. We talked about a lot. We talked a lot about things, too. One of them was we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, you know, and it, like we're cooking and doing whatever. We had some of her, a lot of my wife's family came over. And my wife comes out of a room, and I look at her. I'm like, what'd you do to your hair? And she says, oh, Flannery, who's my niece, put a little curl in it. I go, oh, it looks really nice.
Aww.
And she said, oh, if you could learn how to do this, our marriage would be saved.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I go, wait. And so she says this, and there's other family members around. Like, now they're thinking, oh, my gosh, there's a problem in the marriage, right? And so I'm like, oh, well, of course, the discussion comes about, oh, you know, Lou's colored my hair. And so then now I'm super inquisitive about, well, what is this thing that could save the marriage? I want to do this. So evidently it is some, it's not a flat iron. It's not a curling iron, but it is just a rod that gets hot that you plug in, and then you twist the hair around a little bit, and you wait, and then you pull it up. You know what that is?
Do.
Okay.
Hot rod.
Well,
yep.
we ordered one.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to learn how to hot rod.
I'm sure you are. That. God.
All right.
Now the only other thing that I have to learn how to do is blow dry out her hair. Like, if we go to an event or something, she'll go see her, mm-hmm. her friend Barbara.
Sure.
And I'm going to go have my hair blow dried out. Andy does this all the time.
All the time.
And, right. And she's like, oh, if you could just learn how to do this. Right?
Like, are you testing me? Is
right.
this a challenge?
I mean, I'm almost thinking I need to open up a salon at this point.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And,
income,
right. Right. And, anyway. And
I
then.
Take back what I said earlier about giving you too much, teasing you too much about.
Yeah, it's not. There's really no reason you can keep doing it. I mean, because it's just, you know, the thing is that I'm super inquisitive about how things work, right? So even things like if I see, like, for instance, my wife's hair, and they're like, what, did you curl your hair? That I would notice that. Most men, you know, probably would just go on, right? And I'm like, well, how did you do that, right? I mean, and so I just want to learn. I'm inquisitive. That's all.
Oh,
no. Anyway,
it is fascinating how stuff works.
Right? It is fascinating mm-hmm. how stuff works. See, like I think that would be a really good TV show. I know there used to be one of like how stuff works, but it was always like a theme. What if it was just how everything worked?
Yeah.
You could just open it all up. Like, want to know how to use a hot rod? That's what it's called. Is that what it's called? I don't know.
I don't think so.
It's not called a hot rod.
It is now.
It should be called a rod. I think that's what I'm going to call it. Oh yeah, I was. Hot rodding with my wife last night.
That sounds, yes.
Hey-o.
Yep.
All right, let's get back to the phone calls. 877-213-4LOU. Who would you like me to take on these House Smarts Radio hotlines here? All right, let's talk to, I believe it is Maria, who's in DeKalb. Hi, Maria.
Hey, Lou, it's an honor to talk to you.
Oh, stop it. It's more of an honor for me to talk with you. How may I help you?
Well, I have a question. I recently had to move to a rental home that was built in the mid-1800s, and the home is heated by propane. Unfortunately, I didn't find out till recently that propane generally is about 2 to 4 times the cost of regular gas, although with natural gas prices, who knows if I'm going to end up on the better end of things.
Yeah, you won't be, because propane is just hard to come by and it's expensive. But anyway, keep going.
So when I spoke to the lady at the propane company to figure out a budget on how I was going to manage the cost of the propane, she told me something that seemed counterintuitive to me. my thought was if I kept the thermostat in the mid-60s, that I would conserve dollars and not use as much propane. However, she told me that that would actually cost me more money because the furnace would run more, which didn't seem right to me. So I'm calling you to see what your advice is in trying to use the least amount of gas. And I realize a lot of that depends on how cold it is outside,
right, right.
Which obviously none of us can control.
Right.
But I'm just terrified about how much this is going to cost.
So it is a forced air system, but the heat source is a propane burner.
Correct.
Okay. And do you head off to work each day? Is the home empty at any time, or are you working from home?
Well, no. I have 4 children that live at home with me, mm-hmm. 2 who are over 18. So people are in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I have kept the heat at I don't have an adjustable or a programmable thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just kept the heat at 63 degrees.
Mm.
And we put additional blankets on and, you know, sweatshirts, and everybody has seemed comfortable up to this point with
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the lady at the propane company told me that I should keep the thermostat higher because then it wouldn't run as much, which, again,
No.
That's
okay,
why I'm
so
calling you.
Here's a little, this is just kind of a little 101, you know, and this is a rental, so you really can't do a bunch of, you know, work like add insulation and things like that. So for right. every degree you lower the thermostat, it translates to about 3%. 2 to 3% of a savings on the energy used to create that heat. Okay, so at 63 is cold, and I think that if you maintain a lower heat and everything stays at an ambient temperature, you know, once you get the house, we're still in kind of a weird spot right now, right? Because the sun warms up the house and everything inside the house is not a consistent temperature just yet. So try and eliminate, for you in a rental, eliminate as many drafts as possible. Any window that you go up to and you put your hand next to and it's drafty, go buy some window.
I've already sealed them all with plastic.
Got it.
And I have draft guards. Right. I have draft guards right. on the doors.
So that's all going to help. Set the temperature to whatever you want if you don't have a programmable thermostat. And that will... that will, you know, whatever that is, it is. And it's going to cost you less to try and maintain the heating at a lower temperature than if trying to go to 72 degrees. That is completely false about raising the temperature, and it's going to run less. Now, there is an advantage with a programmable thermostat that if you were to invest in that, where when you're in bed underneath the covers, I don't know that I would go lower than 63 degrees, but, you know, let's say that you went up to 68 during the day, and at night you went to 63, and that system would shut down. You're under the covers, you're warm as a bug, and then an hour before you get up, it goes back up to 68. That manipulation of the temperature will certainly help. The other thing is, in rooms where you're going to spend most of your time, you may want to get an electric heater to heat up that room so it's more comfortable, so you're not turning the thermostat up to warm up that space and you're paying to heat the rest of the house. Lindsay,
yes, I did purchase the oil, electric heaters.
Yeah.
The problem is that upstairs, if I plug those in, it trips the, the panel.
Breaker.
And I cannot run them. So, and I learned very quickly that if I run an oil heater in the living room where the thermostat is, that raises the temperature in there.
Correct.
And
right.
then
right.
the heat doesn't turn on.
Correct. So, that's problematic. Right. You don't want to heat the room where the thermostat is. So wherever the rooms
right.
are cold, I just featured a convection heater on the Today Show last week that I really, really like. And it's an American-made company, and this thing hangs on the wall. It has no fan. It only draws 500 watts of electricity. So most of the larger ones go up to 1,500 watts, which is why you're tripping a breaker. This just uses
right.
convection. And I believe the company is called Envy, E-N-V-I. And it's not an inexpensive heater, but it's slim profile. you put a couple of screws on the wall and you hang it on the wall like you hang a picture, so you don't have to worry about anybody knocking it over. And it will take the chill out of the room and use, it'd be very efficient, so it would keep those bedrooms warmer at night. And, you know, you're just going to have to be really mindful of eliminating drafts, keeping the temperature at a comfortable level. And, you know, I know that the propane companies will get you on a budget, you know, so that you can make it through the winter months.
Right. Okay, great. Well, I will look into that heater rather than running an extension cord down the
100%.
Stairs, which was my other thought.
100%. No.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your help. And I knew I was right, but I knew that you would
set
me straight if I wasn't.
You are right. So stick with that.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Lou. Have a great day.
You too. Have a great weekend. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. I'm doing well, sir. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. How may I help you this morning?
I got two furnace questions.
Number one.
The first one, last summer, I had the air conditioner replaced, and the gentleman that looked at it said that there was stress marks on the heat exchanger.
Mm.
Now, I called a couple of different guys to come out and check on the furnace this fall. It's 25 years old, so I figure it's probably about ready. Two of them said they've never heard of stress marks, and the price varies between, you know, by several thousand dollars, depending on who I called for what looks like pretty much the same furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me?
Well, I haven't heard of stress. I've heard of stretch marks, but I haven't heard of stress marks. And, I mean, I you know, I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, really, if you're gonna test a heat exchanger to find out if it's cracked, you know, there's visual inspections. But really, what really good folks do is they actually drill a hole in it and they put an oxygen sensor in there, and they actually measure the burn inside there, and then they cap it when you're done. And some furnaces already have that access to there. Now, you're right, 25 years, regardless, it isn't, that heat exchanger could be fine, but I guarantee you that the unit you're running right now is not as efficient as what you could purchase. And, you know, if you think about, Bob, you know, like, what's your plan with the home you're living in? You're going to stay there for the next 10 years? Are you going to sell it in 5?
I think they're going to bury me in the backyard.
All right. Well, if they're going to bury you in the backyard, and may I ask a personal question? How old of a gentleman are you?
Pardon me?
How old of a gentleman are you?
Yeah. A little bit.
No, how old are you, Bob?
Oh, 71.
Okay, so you're 71 years old, and we're trying to make our life a little easier. And so right now, if you were to purchase a new furnace and get it all installed and ready to go, you know, if you take care of this thing, you're going to get another 20 years out of it, and you're going to be very efficient.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so you're not going to get another 20 years out of what you have now. So replacing it and getting it and taking advantage of the savings makes a lot of sense. And I would just keep calling around to different heating and cooling companies. We have, you know, plenty that are part of WGN, Dykstra Home Services, American Weathermakers, Perfect Home Services. You know, these folks all do a really nice job and will take good care of you. Lindemann Heating and Cooling is another one that's actually up by your way, which might not be a bad one to call to get an estimate.
I've had two, three guys come out, and they just look at it and give me a number. And they vary by about $1,000 to $1,200 between each estimate.
Right, but are they giving you the like equipment? That's the key, is we got to make sure that what they're quoting you, the equipment that they're quoting
They're all quoting an 80% with a two-stage burner.
Okay. And are they talking about, when they talk about that, are they, has anybody mentioned a chimney liner?
No.
Okay. And what kind of chimney does it feed into?
Just, what would it be?
Is it metal? Yeah. It's a metal chimney already.
That's just a tin chimney?
Okay. All right. That's fine. And that's all good. But what you need to do is establish, you need someone to come and do a load calculation on your place to find out the size of it. We don't just need somebody coming in, oh, yeah, we can do all this. And, you know, you're up in Zion. I don't think our friends at Dykstra go up that far, but I do know that Lindemann Chimney Heating and Cooling does. And if you were to contact... I'm sorry?
I did have American Weathermakers come out. And they were actually quite a bit higher than the other two.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the reason you get different bids. And I think that you got to pay for what you can afford. That's number one. Number two is you got to hire people that you know you can trust. And the people that I just named are all people that I know you can trust to do a good job. But again, it has to be competitive for you and what your budget allows. I appreciate the phone call. It's 7:32 in the morning. When we come back, we have a Noodaloo 2 to help you stay a little bit more organized when it comes to the trash in your home. But right now, it's time for WGN Radio News.
Well, I have plenty of seven-layer salad to go around. I made a huge pan for me.
How does that go over the leftovers? Good?
It's better. You have to actually, the directions say to let it sit for 8 hours.
Oh, sure.
It's like one soup. Time a year, I mean, that's like soup. Mayo.
Well, I mean, like the soup the next day. It doesn't turn into soup.
Oh,
I got you. In other words, when you allow the soup, you know, it's way better.
Oh,
right.
So good. That's my turkey. That's my turkey on Thanksgiving.
Is the seven layer thing? Yeah, we needed more vegetables, but it was good. But so one of the things that you do during Thanksgiving is you make all this food and you make all this trash. And you know, is there maybe an easier way to handle all the trash bags when it comes to what you do in the kitchen? Well, our Noodaloo 2 just might be that answer. Take a listen.
I have two unspoken, ongoing arguments just about every day. One, the thermostat. I walk by and turn the heat up. He walks by and turns the heat down. Also, the kitchen garbage. I am a smoosher. I try to fit as much in as I can before I take it to the trash to save the planet. Of course. He thinks I'm procrastinating until he takes it out for me. I would never do that. So then when he does bring the trash out, it's like he can't take those extra steps to walk to the sink, get a new garbage bag, and put it into the trash can. But with this week's new Tulu 2, the new bag will already be there for him. Garbage Ease stores and dispenses your 13 to 16 gallon tall kitchen garbage bags from the bottom of your garbage can. With the patented Garbage Ease dispenser, garbage bag storage and removal makes the job quicker, easier, and more sanitary. You just tear off the old bag when it becomes full, and a new one rolls right in after. And when the dispenser is empty, you remove the old dispenser and replace it with a new one. One perforated roll includes 25 unscented, leak-proof garbage bags and goes for $8.99. Garbagees will save space under your cabinets or wherever you keep your kitchen garbage bags and will save you those few extra steps, which I know are hard to take sometimes. I am so busted if my husband's listening to this. Find out more about Garbage Ease on HouseSmartsRadio.com.
So basically, you know, for those of us that have garbage bags that maybe you have at the bottom of the garbage can, you know, this is what it's kind of nice about it is the packaging that you buy it in is the packaging that is the sleeve to pull it out. So like a roll shade, Velcro at the bottom of the container, pull the bag out, rip it, go. And it's always right there. You know, one of the things if you go to one of the, you know, the big supply houses, you know, like the what do you call it? Like a Costco or a Sam's Club, those rolls are so giant well, you can't really put them in the bottom of your 13-gallon kitchen bag because it would take up half the bag. It's kind of a neat thing. But then when you're done, you rip the whole package out and then recycle it. I would like, Lindsay, to have that be, it would be nice if it was, I think this noodle too is good, but we as a society, we have to stop using plastic bags. Yes?
Yes.
Are you?
But have you? I'm thinking of.
I just don't know what the solution is. What's that?
This is version one. I mean, if you buy a box of garbage bags,
I think that right now there's no solution here, and I think that this is a great way to stay organized with a new product. And go to housemartsradio.com to learn more. It's only available online, so you can buy it online. But we got to come up with a better solution with plastic bags in general, right? Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
I don't know what that answer is. So
definitely.
When you get to that answer, if you could get that to me, I would really, really appreciate it.
Right on top of that.
All right. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Let's get back to the phone lines now and talk with, I believe this is Barb in Munster. Hi, Barb. Well, let's try again. Hold on. One more time. Hey, Barb, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a really quick question for you. I've used permasealant in the past on my home, and it's great. I am in the process of selling a home for a friend who passed away. And
sorry.
When I moved a piece of furniture, I know, they have a little apartment in the basement there. Well, now there's foundation damage to the wall and the laminate floor. I can't go in there and have that whole floor torn up in the inside, like they did with mine.
Mm.
Can you recommend somebody, or does PermaSeal do outside?
No. I mean, most of the time when you... Okay, so any kind of damage there, that first of all, PermaSeal is not a finished company that does flooring and that kind of stuff. So if you're going to, you got a couple of options here. What's okay. The condition of the rest of the house?
I'm sorry, what?
What is the condition of the rest of the house?
It's fine.
Okay. I think you just, you disclose this area right here, and then you sell it with that deficiency.
Okay.
Because, look, by the time, we give you a list of a bunch of different things to do, first of all, you're going to be waiting to get those people there because everybody is so backed up. So it would be well into the first of the year before you'd probably see anybody. And then to put it all back together, now we're into March. And, I don't want to pry into the, all the financial stuff. But in other words, if you say, hey, there was this damage here, we know about it, and, you want X amount of dollars for the house, and somebody says, okay, I'll give you this, but I'm going to make the number up, a $5,000 credit to fix this thing. Just do that.
And that's fine. I mean,
right.
Yeah, because I would like to get a six. Like, I didn't know, and I don't think my friend knew that was even there because
right.
he never had problems.
Sure.
And this COVID is not the best thing in the world.
It is not. It is absolutely not, and we're not out of it yet, so we just have to stay positive and keep, doing what we can to make it through.
I know. My neighbor had, he had seepage and stuff in their house, and they had it done on the outside. I just didn't know how effective that is.
It's not. I mean, it's not. I shouldn't say it's not, but it's... It is more effective to have it all done on the inside because then you channel it. But in your situation, honestly, Barbara, I would not invest those dollars.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213. How about our next caller? We give him a House Smarts Radio hat. Sponsored by our friends over at Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating your kitchen or your bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. We're going to send that to Waukegan, where Jim is calling in. Hey, Jim, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I certainly appreciate it.
How may I help you?
Last winter, I messed up. Rookie error. I left my garden hose on its spigot outside.
Ooh.
It's behind a bush, so, you know, you got to... That's no excuse. So, in the spring, when I turned on the spigot, I got water in my basement, right?
Yep.
So, I'm kind of handy. I'm no Lou. I can't read or so, but I can take it pretty good. So, I put a new spigot on, but I also put an on-off valve inside the basement.
Smart.
To turn the water off of the spigot.
Yep.
So, the other day, it was really nice, 50 degrees. I turned the valve off, and I went outside to open the spigot, and no water came out. I'm like, uh-oh. I bet I have it going up a tiny bit and water staying in there. But someone said you want to leave the spigot open all winter. Is that true?
Okay, now when you replaced the spigot, did you put it, was it a frost-proof, or is it just a regular spigot?
A spigot that has that, you know, 8 inches in is where the valve is.
Oh, you're fine. You know. You're fine. I mean, and you
do
put
I
a and you put
on,
and you put and you put a valve on the inside.
Right.
Okay. Do you own a leaf blower?
What's that?
Do you own a leaf blower?
Oh yeah, I've been doing it all week.
Okay. So with the valve off on the inside of the house, next time you're outside with the leaf blower, turn on the valve on the outside, put the spout of that leaf blower on there, and go like hell. And
it'll make the water come out?
It'll blow out a little bit of the water, and it'll come out of there. And and then you should be fine.
Okay. So, like I said, someone said leave his spigot open all winter. That doesn't, I mean, does that make
sense? Let's imagine this, okay? So the whole idea behind a frost-proof is... What happened to you was you left the hose on and it froze and went into that pipe that's in the wall, and that's what burst, okay?
Right.
The
water in my basement.
Correct. So the valve on a frost-proof spigot is back on the warm side of the house. You can see it when you're in the basement, correct?
Right.
So any water that's left in that feeder pipe, okay, if it were to freeze, it's going to go the easiest way it has to go, and it's going to go right out the spout. Because you don't have a hose connected to it. Capiche?
Right.
But if you blow it out with the blower, you'll just get droplets a little bit out of there. They'll come out, and you're good. You're fine. Do not leave the valve open.
Okay. Also, I would recommend to anybody, do not do this stupid thing. That was a rookie error. You can't say it enough, Lou. Just broadcast it every
time. Wait, Jim. Hold on. I'm going to have you. I like this. Okay, so wait. On cue, I'm going to say, and now a public service announcement from Jim in Waukegan, and then you're going to tell people what to do. All right, ready? All right. Three.
That sounds good.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. And now, Jim, hold on a second. Okay. Wait for it. Come on. Right. We're doing this live. I'm gonna introduce you. Then you go. 3, 2, 1. And now, a public service announcement from Jim in Waukegan. Jim?
Everyone, take your garden hose off your spigot in the wintertime, or else in the spring, when you turn it on, you will have water in your basement. And that is gangs of fun. So please, everyone, take it off.
As Wally Phillips once said, people helping people. Thank you, Jim. 877-2134-LOU. We'll be right back.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. What's going on?
I'm really good. I'm in your neck of the woods up on the northwest side. And I have one of those. I have a very old house. And my front entrance door is one of those like wooden round top doors. Is that what they call them?
Okay.
They're like the skinny round top doors. Now, the question is that I need a new one, because it's all rotted out. So two things. One, where would I find... I'm having extreme difficulty finding a round top door to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I need to find a storm one too, right?
Right.
So those are like all custom.
Right.
Like all these guys are like all completely out of town. Like, who would I call? I see them all over the city. Like, who would I call for that?
Okay. Actually, you hear me do the ads for Gilkey windows, but Gilkey also does really nice entry doors. And they work with different, they're not vinyl. They're, you know, they work with all different entry door companies because this is kind of part of their deal too. You know, it's the holes on the side of a house and they're going to make sure you get the right stuff to, you know, put in them. So that would be one company to call, Gilkey, about doing an entry door system that would fit. It's right. It's 100% custom, and it's not going to be inexpensive. But, you know, you could even do, instead of a wood door, there are fiberglass door manufacturers that can make a door to fit that opening that will be super efficient and, you know, really close and seal well, which, you know, would probably be a huge upgrade from perhaps what you have right now.
Yeah. Okay.
So that would be one place. Another place on the northwest side that you could at least go look at doors, but then from an installation standpoint, you'd have to, you know, work maybe.
You'd hire a carpenter, right?
You'd have to hire a carpenter. Is Harry's Lumber. Now, they're not open. Okay. They're not open on the weekends, but they do have a lot of suppliers for doors, and they could probably work with you there. And it at the very least, Angelo, it would at least give you a comparison between, you know, let's say you have Gilkey come out and they say, okay, we can do all this for X, and then, you know, you go talk to the guys at Harry's and say, all right, well, this is what it's going to cost to do this, and then it at least gives you a gauge for how much money you're going to spend.
Yeah. I'm not worried about the money. I'm just worried about trying to find somebody to do
Correct.
It because I've been having extreme difficulties with
yeah.
this. I found, like, one carpenter. He's like, I'm going to take it down. He goes, I'm going to board it up. I'm basically going to make you a brand new door. I was just like, okay.
Right.
And then he said, yeah, like, not a lot of people sell these. And I've been looking everywhere
right.
and can't find them either. So.
Right.
But everybody on the northwest side has them.
Right. There's a lot of them. Yeah, they're still made, and you can find them. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
Yeah, go ahead.
888, the number 3, Gilkey. 888, the number 3, Gilkey. Call them. Tell them I told you to call, and you need an entry door system, and they should be able to help you.
I need a round top entry door.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, brother. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Take care. 877-2134-LOU. This is, we're going to stay in Chicago. This is Tom. Hey, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
So I've got some issues with my windows. I have wood-clad windows. My house was built in 1995. They're Norco windows, and they have a history of having problems.
Wait. Hold on. Wait one second. You mean aluminum clad?
Aluminum clad. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. All right.
Aluminum clad.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And so I have some problems with foggy glass, some cracked glass, some rotted frames.
Right.
So I don't know if I should repair, replace, and I'm looking for direction and maybe a trustworthy contractor that can give me some information.
Okay, the age of the windows are what? 25 years?
The house was built in 1995.
Okay, so you're 20 some years. Man, I remember installing Norco windows back in the 90s. Everybody's like, oh, Norco, these things are the best. Like, that was the thing. These architects were all saying, these Norco windows are the best. And they didn't turn out to be.
No, they did not.
You know, and you know, I was just a young carpenter. I'm like, okay, well, you're the architect. I'm just going to go by what you're telling me. And I remember one house in particular in Deerfield. It was the architect's house, and Mike and I put all these Norco windows in, and I think it was the first time we ever did it. And I think it was either Mike or myself. I'm like, man, they're not that special. But anyway, this is a tough call because, you know, if you, you know, we were just talking about the other caller with hiring a carpenter and coming in to do this work. You mess around and play around replacing frames and glass and whatever, you know, you can spend $300, $400, $500 on that opening to get the 25-year-old windows to look good. Or you can replace the whole window, you know, with a vinyl, which is way better than what you have right now, for $500. Or you go okay. with a fiberglass window, which is the last window you're ever going to buy. And, you know, maybe it's $750 or $1,000 for the opening. But then you're done.
Okay.
So, I mean, this company that we've talked about on the air here called Apex that takes the fog out of the glass. It's about $100 a window or so. I don't have a personal connection with them. We interviewed them years ago. People have used them and been very happy with it. So you can piecemeal this whole thing and probably save a little money, but in the end, you'll still have, you know, 20-plus-year-old windows.
Right.
And so if it were me, I would start phasing those windows out, you know, depending on your budget, and say, okay, this year I'm going to replace these four. And, you know, okay. next year I'm going to replace these six. Or, you know, if your budget allows you, replace the whole elevation, one side of the house, if that's where most of the problems are. And that would be a better way to go. I was just talking with the previous caller about Gilkey. I have a relationship with Gilkey as a spokesperson with them, but they make a really, really terrific line of windows and doors. And their fiberglass, which to me is probably one of the better units out there, would definitely be worth looking okay. into.
All right. Okay, that's really what I know the windows are, like I say, I know they're old. I know they have a bad history.
Right.
And I didn't know if it was worth trying to replace or repair. We're probably only going to be here a few more years.
Right.
So I don't want to get crazy, but I also don't want to just be throwing money away.
No, and you know, the other thing, too, I'll tell you that from a resale standpoint is that, that Norco thing is going to come back to bite you in the butt.
Right.
Because any inspector or anyone's going to pick all that out, and so then you can either let it go and know that you're going to give them, and I'm just going to make this up, $1,000 an opening as a credit, right?
Right.
So yeah, if you've got it,
that sounds very reasonable, right?
Right. Or you replace it, then you get the benefit of a few years of using windows that open and close and don't leak, and you know you get the energy savings of it, and then when you go to sell, oh yeah, and we replaced. You know, this side of the window, they're all new. Oh, that's good. That's the kind of thing that helps people make a decision of, I'm going to buy the house.
That sounds sensible too.
All right. Okay. Well, I have at least one sense. I don't know about two, but I got one.
Yeah.
I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much. Hey, guess what? It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new over at Builder Supply Outlet.
My pores up that close now.
Yeah, you can see that your pores have pores.
I want to be like the Mona. What is it? The Monet.
The Monet. Not the Mona Lisa.
Much better far away.
That is not true. But I'm telling you, if you're looking for a really good line of vanity mirrors, it could be a great noodle too, but I've already talked about it. But we have two of them. They're so great. You can see everything. 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. This is Linda in Mundelein. Hi, Linda. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, it's Linda here. I can't hear you real well. It's a little fuzzy. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay, then I'll keep talking. I have a question about something, and the question, overview question is, is this a project we should do ourselves, or is it better left for the pros?
Okay.
It's not real hard. It's painting, but it's painting on a fireplace. I want to update it because it has pretty stone, but it's orangey color, and it looks dated. And so online, I see that you can paint these. I don't want to paint it like white and straight paint. I want to get the nice, professionally blended, so some color blends through, and it's not just a white fireplace. But I read up, and it seems like, oh, you must, you know, get all the grout covered, and is it going to look good? Because this is such a focal point, and mm-hmm. I'm wondering, is this going to be like when I tried sponge painting, and, you know.
We featured a line of paint that is specifically designed for what you are asking about.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Gianni Brick. Brick? Gianni...
Brick Transformations.
No.
Granite...
No.
Wait, which one?
I'm Isn't sorry, it Gianni I... with the guy? Hey, I'm Nick Marble. Gianni. Remember the guy in the video? Gianni Brick, where you paint the brick. Yeah, isn't it just Gianni Brick?
Gianni Brick Transformations.
Not Johnny.
Gianni.
Gianni Brick Transformation. Is it Brick Transformation? Is it still up on the website somewhere?
It is. It's on housemartsradio.com, and it's on your Facebook, I believe.
All right. So this, basically what it is, Linda, is it's paint, but it's almost like a little whitewashing. So it's white, but when you just do one coat of it, that color of what you have there will come through a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Right? So then you can step back and go, hey, look at me. Are you going to do this by yourself or someone going to help you?
My husband and I.
What's his name?
Dean.
Dean. Dean, look at us. Look at us. Look at what we just did. It looks amazing. And so you buy this paint. You brush off the brick. You clean it up a little bit. You don't have to do a lot of grout stuff unless stuff's failing, you know, like falling out. But then you take the paint and you put it in a container. You mix it with a little water, and then you brush it on. And then you take a rag, kind of like you mentioned when you sponge painted, and you wipe it off. Okay? So...
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, you know, I'm all about the makeup and the hair. You know, when you put the, what's the stuff you put on your cheeks to make your cheeks rosy?
Rouge.
Rouge. And, what? Right, you put it on heavy and then you work it off, right? Am I right about that with the rouge?
Yeah.
So same.
Okay.
Same kind of thing.
So it's not like you can adjust it. It's not like there's no turning back. You touched it.
Well. I mean, there's no turning back. Once you start painting it, that's it. But the thing is, because you've mixed this with water and it's a lighter coat, if you hated it, you could get it off.
Okay.
But this is the stuff you want to look at. Gianni, G-I-A-N-I, Brick Transformations.
Okay, got it, yeah. All right, so I'll look that up. And so, overall, is this a job for the amateurs?
It says specifically. It says specifically, if your name is Linda and Dean, this is for you. It says it on the package.
Okay, maybe we'll give it a try.
Send me a
picture. I'm worried this is.
You're gonna do fine.
You know, we're gonna have to look at this a lot.
Yeah. Right. Right. Look, when you get this done in 2024, you call me back.
There's a bunch of how-to videos online, too.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I appreciate you calling this morning, 877-2134 Lou. When we come back, you know, we're doing our Whiskey Acres drinks. We have another, the Whiskey Acres Old Fashioned is after 9 o'clock. But I actually am going to have a conversation with one of the owners of Whiskey Acres. They have a whole big program going on out at their distillery this weekend with live music, too. So we're going to learn more about that coming up after this report of WGN Radio News. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. All right. Well, now with Thanksgiving behind us, that means the holidays are in full swing. And I think for a lot of us, we want to try new things and we want to enjoy ourselves. Lord knows we deserve it. It's been an unbelievable year and a half, almost 2 years now. What better way to enjoy yourself than with some holiday recipes from our friends over at Whiskey Acres? You have heard me talking about this. We have one coming up a little bit later on this morning as well. But I wanted to talk to the owner of Whiskey Acres Distillery. Nick Nagley is on the line. Nick, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for having me today.
We're having lots of fun with the Whiskey Acres holiday recipes. Last week we did the slushy, which it's all gone now that you pre-made. So I have to make some more, and we have another recipe coming up later on this morning as well. But let's talk a little bit about your business. I know the people on WGN have heard you guys talk a little bit. I know John has talked with you a little bit, John Williams and Steve Bertrand as well. But you guys are an estate distillery. What does that mean?
Well, so that really kind of sets us apart from most of our peers in distilling in that we built a distillery on my business partner's farm in DeKalb, Illinois. And so my two business partners are fourth and fifth generation farmers. I'm a fifth generation farmer. One of my parents farm. And what we do is we grow all of our own corn, all of our own wheat, rye, and barley. And to use a pun, we select the cream of the crop to make whiskey from. And the farm here is about 2,000 acres, which, you know, if you're sitting in the city of Chicago, that sounds pretty big. But if you're out here, you know, the farmland, it's an average-sized farm. But it's way more than we need to actually operate the distillery. So we use about 5% of what we grow, do it all on site, which becomes, you know, very sustainable because the carbon footprint is much smaller toting the grain across the road as opposed to, you know, buying from another state. We've built the distillery to be recycling and reclaiming water. We've got solar panels out here, so we're 100% solar powered. So, you know, being an estate distillery gives us control from seed to spirit and literally kind of everything in that process.
You folks have now been in business for 7 years. Is that right? A little over 7 years?
That's right. So, you know, again, farming for several generations.
Right.
December 21st, I believe, marks 7 years of the day that we ran our first batch of whiskey. So
right.
It seems like 7 minutes and 70 years and everything in between.
Well, I do remember you and I had a conversation maybe a year or two ago. And you, one of the things is that, A, you had to convince your wife about this because when you make bourbon, right, or whiskey, it isn't like you go and you put it all in a pot and you mix it and like, okay, everybody, come try my whiskey. You have to make it and then you have to wait, right? It's not, right, if you were going to make vodka or gin, you can do that pretty quick, but it's a little bit different when you're making whiskey.
Wait and wait and wait some more. You know, so the first thing is you gotta spend the time and the money to actually build the facility out so that you can make it. And,
right.
And that in itself is pretty cash heavy. Then once you have it, then you have to spend all the money and operational costs and inputs to make stuff today that you're going to sell 5 to 6 years down the road.
Mm.
So to your point, my wife Amanda and Jamie's wife Kristen and Jim's wife Sue are absolute angels to bless us with the permission to pursue this and you know, watch us grow and really get to a point today where we have 6 and 7 year old whiskey that's won awards across the world.
I got to tell you,
we're very proud of what we're coming.
Yeah, I am a whiskey and a bourbon drinker. I like dark liquor and I have become a gigantic fan of, in particular, your Bottle and Bond whiskey, which I just find to be so ridiculously smooth and flavorful. Whether I'm having it neat or using it for a cocktail, it just, you know. It's funny because I was just recently in New York and I was at a restaurant and I actually asked for by name Whiskey Acres and the guy goes, oh, I don't have that. And I go, you know, you really should bring that in. Really? Never heard of it. You know, the bartender. So, you know, I'm trying to do a little guerrilla marketing for you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, one thing we've done is we're not a very big facility. You know, we're probably, there's about 40 distilleries in the state of Illinois.
Right.
And we're probably the sixth or seventh largest, which really kind of makes us sound kind of big.
Right.
But if you put that in perspective, a couple of years ago, Jim Beam had a fire. They lost 45,000 barrels. But they said, don't worry. It only represents about 1% of what we have in storage. It would take us 150 years to make what Jim Beam lost.
Wow.
That only represented 1% of what they have in storage.
Right.
So,
right. You know, no knock to Jim Beam. I mean, they're, you know, they're
right.
A fine distiller. They've been around for a very long time, but that does put it in perspective. Now, I know that one of the things that you folks are really proud of, you and your partners, and you weren't able to do it to the level that you were before, are distillery tours. We're even giving away, when we do our recipes, we're giving away a 4-pack for people to come out. Talk to people what they could expect when they come out to the distillery.
Well, we really try to showcase our seed to spirit story. So, the first thing you'll notice is there's a giant, beautiful 4,000 square foot visitor center right out here in the middle of the cornfield. And you come in, we've got a fantastic staff and team that will greet you. We have tours on Fridays at 6 o'clock, Saturdays at 2, 4, and 6, and Sundays at 2 o'clock. And those tours generally start out outside. We showcase some of the farm machinery, you know, showcase where the land is being used to grow our solar panels. We walk inside and walk you through every step of the distilling process. We'll go to a warehouse, we'll check out the barrels and talk about the hows and the whys of the barrel aging process. And then I think most people's favorite part is you get samples of three or so different products at the end.
Yep.
To kind of help you make your decision on what you might want to take home and what you might want to have for your next cocktail. So yeah, we have a full, when I say full, we have a cocktail program out here that, based off of the state of Illinois rules, we're only able to make drinks with spirits that we produce on site. So we don't have beer and we don't have wine. We don't have gin and never will. So let's not even have that conversation. but we have a really, really kind of unique cocktail program because we have to just focus on what we make. And so that's kind of where like that bourbon slush came from. You know, a lot of folks think they don't like whiskey or bourbon in particular. Well, something like that is really a way to introduce somebody who doesn't think they like a product like bourbon into something that's very approachable and very fun and very repeatable. Mm. And then we go all the way from that to really classic cocktails, really nice old fashions and Manhattans and really kind of everything in between. So even if you don't think you like whiskey, you can come out here and really enjoy a wonderful cocktail and a very, very unique experience.
Now, I have not had a chance to come out and I do want to come out there, but I'm thinking that, you know, to me, like, you know, this year was the whole thing about the, you know, the baseball game they had in Iowa, the Field of Dreams, you know, from the movie and everything. I think you guys could have a big sign, you know, Whiskey Acres Distillery, Field of Dreams without the baseball and bat. You know what I mean? I mean, that for me, that... Right? That's the field I want to go to. But here's the other thing. I'm just thinking this thing through here. You know, because you guys, when we did the recipes, you were kind enough to send us the ingredients and whatnot to kind of put it all together. You know, everybody wants a subscription service these days, right? That's what businesses all love. Imagine if you had like a cocktail of the Whiskey Acres cocktail of the month program that you guys could put together where you send a small little bottle of the whiskey, and then, like, this month's drink is the Old Fashioned. And it has all the little things in there for gift-giving. Maybe this is, you know, holiday gift-giving for 2022. We put that in the hopper and, you know, spin that around.
It's such a good idea that the state of Illinois won't let us do it.
All right.
So everyone who's listening, talk to the legislator. We would really like to – one of a handful – Kentucky actually allows direct-to-consumer shipping. So we think if Kentucky's kind of crossed that bridge, that's something we'd really like to see happen as well. Because you have a fantastic idea.
Kind of funny that we'll let you gamble on your smartphone, but we won't let you send a holiday drink through the mail that you make yourself. But anyway, that is a whole other story. all right. So this weekend in particular, though, is, you know, Shop Small weekend, and you guys have some stuff going on at the distillery.
Yeah, we have an annual sale, once-a-year sale. So yesterday was our Black Friday sale. Today and tomorrow, so today being Small Business Saturday and tomorrow being the day after that. I don't know what we officially call it, but
right.
We've got a 10% off everything store-wide, and then we actually let you bundle for spirits. So we sell things in six-bottle cases. You can mix and match six bottles of the different spirits we have on site to get an additional 10% off. And so what we'll have on site right now is our Bottle and Bond Bourbon, our Bottle and Bond Rye, our Straight Bourbon, our Straight Rye, and then something called Nocino, which is a liqueur made from walnuts that are on our farm, as well as walnuts that I picked at the Morton Arboretum. That's fantastic. And then kind of a crazy thing we did is we finished a bourbon in Nocino barrels. And so and we bottled it at cask strength, and it's just this wonderful, you get all the wonderful bourbon notes, as well as some cinnamon and tannins and spices. It's honestly, it's like nothing you've ever had before, and so much so that I have not even written down my tasting notes because I'm not sure I can describe it to do it full justice.
Well,
it's absolutely fantastic.
You just did a great job, and I think there's people listening that are going, honey, we're heading out to DeKalb. Get in the car. All right, so today and tomorrow, they've got some great deals. You can do some bundling. Give us the address and phone number or, you know, how they get to you guys out at the distillery, as well as where they go to learn more about all your products and where they can purchase them.
All right, so the easiest thing, use any of your major mapping apps and just type in Whiskey Acres. But if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, we are 11504 Kesslinger Road in DeKalb, Illinois. And just kind of help you triangulate it, follow 88 till you get to Peace Road, and we're a mile directly south of that exit. So you got to do a little, there's some construction going on here.
Sure.
So you kind of got to follow kind of a do some U-turn or horseshoe turns to get here, but you'll find us. Whiskeyacres.com is our website, and you can also do that on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And we've got some fantastic retail partners throughout Chicagoland. If you get on our website, whiskeyacres.com, and on the top it says retail partners, you can type in your zip code and find out what places are carrying us in their particular neighborhood. You know, Denny's is a fantastic partner of ours. You'll find us at Snooks and some few Mariano's and Hy-Vee and liquor and wine locations and Royal Wren. And just we're kind of throughout the Chicagoland area. And here's our biggest ask is if you want us, can't find us at your store, talk to that store owner or manager and tell them to call us or email info@whiskeyacres.com.
I told the bar manager at Smith & Walensky's in New York on 49th and 3rd. I go, next time I come in here, can you give me a bottle of Whiskey Acres? And he kind of smirked at me. But we'll see. I'll keep on him. Nick Nagley is one of the owners at Whiskey Acres Distillery. You can go to whiskeyacres.com to learn more. We've got another Whiskey Acres Holiday on Ice recipe coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. It's actually the Whiskey Acres Old Fashioned, which is delicious. Nick, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. I really do appreciate it. Continued success to you and your team of folks out there, and happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays.
Same to you, Lou. Appreciate your support.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
I'm trying to figure out how to insulate an attic in a balloon frame house. It's a 100-some-year-old house.
Okay.
I talked to you a few weeks ago about putting sliding doors in a bathroom.
Okay.
Okay. And the guy across the road from me, he had a company out there, and he said they came in and they put large cell foam in it, and they did the walls, the roof, and the top deck, which would be the second floor ceiling, all in foam. How do you get air circulation in there?
So it was an open cell, like a foam insulation that stuck to everything?
Yes.
Okay. And so the whole idea behind open cell foam is that it does allow moisture to circulate through it. Okay, so do you know that if the floor of their attic was there already insulation there, or was there a floor?
There was nothing there except some old paper stuff that was done years ago.
So I'm assuming they took that out and then they foamed it all.
They went right over it.
Well, they went right over it. Okay.
They just raised the 2x4s or whatever 2x6s up, and then they shot it across there.
I see. So the foam insulation, you know, is very good. It's very effective, but it's also if it were me, I would have just done the deck, the ceiling, you know, of the second floor, and that's it. By doing the roof rafters as well, you create this cavity that the attic space is warmer now. But we just have to make sure that it's ventilated, you know, that any air up in there gets escaped out of there. If you have a similar attic where you've got exposed rafters, for me, from a cost perspective and a payback, I would use a blown-in cellulose insulation, have them add about 6 to 8 inches up there, along with a baffle to make sure that we keep the airflow on that balloon frame, and you're going to be a heck of a lot warmer than you are right now, and it's not going to cost as much as a spray foam insulation.
Okay.
So a loose fill. There's a company. What part of Chicago are you in, Carl?
I'm not. This is up in New Holstein, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then find a insulation contractor that does loose fill cellulose and get a bid for that, because I think that will be a better use of your money. I really do. Carl, thank you so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time here. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Are you a spirits drinker at all?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and bourbon and whiskey is that's my go-to. I've been
Andy?
On mezcal recently, though.
No, I do beer. Beer is my drink of choice.
You're not a spirits person.
No, never really got into it.
Yeah. I mean, and there, I know a lot of people, and actually, you know, Andy and I I'm older than Andy, but we're in that same generation. I have a lot of friends of mine who are just beer drinkers. That's it, you know. And that was, When we were kids, that's what we did, right, Andy?
Very true. Yeah. Young kids, right?
Yeah. Andy, you know, Andy grew up in one of the toughest cul-de-sacs in, was it Northbrook?
Glenview, yeah.
Glenview. Real tough cul-de-sac. There were all these gangs right there. Andy was, you know, he was the jet.
Yeah.
When you're a jet, you're a jet all the way. Well, our friends at Whiskey Acres, they have been so kind to do some holiday drinks with us. And so I guess, you know, Don, you may appreciate this. Last week they had this slushy, which I was a little not like I'm not a I don't know how to describe it. Look, if I'm on a beach, I like a pina colada, right? Just one, because it's just delicious. And then the slushy thing I wasn't so sure about, because like, when am I going to like this? It was delicious.
So good.
Oh, my gosh.
So good.
So good. And so I'm like, okay, well, this is a great way to start the Whiskey Acres holiday drink recipes. Those drink recipes, Lindsay, are still up on WGNradio.com, correct? People can go to Holidays on Ice. WGNradio.com/Holidays on Ice. And you need to go there just to see the picture of myself, Santa Claus, who is Steve Bertrand dressed like Santa Claus, and John Williams. We look like his little elves, and then there's Steve. So this week's recipe is more traditional, which I absolutely loved, that Lindsay and I had a chance to create. Take a listen.
It's time for another holiday drink recipe from Whiskey Acres, the award-winning farm-crafted whiskey made right here in DeKalb, Illinois.
Wait, hold on. This is the sound of me opening a fresh bottle of Whiskey Acres. Listen carefully.
Nice.
Keep going.
And today's featured drink is one of Lou's favorites, the Whiskey Acres Old Fashioned.
I have a question. Are people going to start talking about the fact that every Friday night we get together and we have cocktails and then we have to work early in the morning? Okay, so here's the recipe using a bottle of straight bourbon whiskey from Whiskey Acres. So the recipe for the old fashioned is you take a little simple syrup and you pour it in the bottom of the glass just so it covers the bottom of the glass. Now, this all depends on how sweet you like it, okay?
You're sweet enough. You don't need too much, right?
Right. I don't need too much, so I don't use a whole heck of a lot of it. Then what you're going to do is add a few dashes of bitters, which I'm going to do like 6 dashes of bitters. Then you're going to twist in an orange slice, okay? And I'm just going to kind of stir it around, each orange slice around there. Then I am going to add 1.5 ounces, take a listen, of Whiskey Acres bourbon.
Oh, that's good whiskey.
Oh, look at how good that is.
Nice.
Okay, then the really good cherries, you know, the really good ones, the braided cherries, and a little bit of the cherry juice, and then I'm going to add the ice over the top of that. And then what you do is you stir until the glass gets cold. Okay? All right, ready? Now we're going to taste it.
All right.
You know, and what's the thing is, you are not a huge whiskey drinker, but I don't think I've ever seen you with a bigger smile on your face.
I love a good old fashioned, though.
Cheers. Oh, that's good, right?
Well done, Lou.
Thank you. She's supposed to be reading right now, but she's drinking. I'm thinking, too, that this is probably like Don and Andy, not happy. Sorry, guys.
Head on over to WGNradio.com/holidaysonice to get the recipe compliments of Whiskey Acres.
You know, the problem is that I've noticed that the Whiskey Acres bottle that, you know, they sent us samples to. And when I talked to Nick Nigley today, isn't it funny that you can't do a drink subscription thing in the state of Illinois?
What?
You can't. So I made the suggestion when I talked to him. I go, wouldn't it be kind of cool that you could do a, I get this gift, like the beer of the month thing.
Yeah.
From, and it comes like every 3 months. I'm not a huge beer drinker, but it's fun to try different beers. Andy would love the beer of the month. He likes the beer.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, but I mean, so I said, hey, you guys should do like, this week, here's, like they could send a little bottle and like all the different things. Wouldn't it be fun to do that? Oh, no, you can't do that in the state of Illinois.
Well, you
can buy marijuana. Okay, just so we're clear, you can buy marijuana in the state of Illinois. You can pick up your smartphone and bet on a game while the game is going on. Am I right about that, Andy?
Yeah, in-game betting, yeah.
In-game betting, like, oh, I bet this guy's going to catch that pass. I don't understand a lot of it, but I think that's what you can do, right? Is that?
Yeah, it's sort of like that, yeah.
Sort of. Like I bet they're going to score on this.
Yeah, the lines change, you know, during the game.
Right. You can do all that, but they can't send me a little bitty box like, hey, Uncle Stu, here's a little gift for you. You're going to get this month, you're going to get how to make a little old-fashioned.
So do you mean it can't come from Illinois? Because I feel like...
You can only, according to Nick Nagley, one of the owners at Whiskey Acres, only in Kentucky.
But
go out and buy your big old marijuana joint, right? And you can do all that.
I don't know that it's only in Kentucky. I was going to say, I know I got a friend of mine who started a brewery in Wisconsin, and his business is all subscription-based because he doesn't make the same beers twice in a row.
Okay, so here's the difference. Okay, Don, very good point. You can do it with beer. Can't do it with spirits.
Ah, gotcha.
I mean, that is
still
goofy.
Completely. I mean, right?
I've gotten you a subscription before.
No, you haven't gotten a subscription of, you can't, it's something about the mixed drinks. Like, in other words, I can send you a bottle of whiskey that's sealed and everything, but I can't send you everything to make a drink.
Okay, got it.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy.
It is. I remember during the pandemic when restaurants started delivering, you know, they changed that.
They made like some rule about that.
They did.
They changed it for the pandemic,
right? But they did all still have to be sealed. Any containers that arrived, like you said, you couldn't make it yourself. It had to be prepackaged from the restaurant.
Right. I mean, that is so crazy, right? It's like, okay, come on, everybody. Let's think about what we're trying to do here.
Let's get it together.
Right? It's sort of like the fact that you can't come to one of our hardware store in Chicago and buy spray paint, yet Don right now could go on his Amazon app and order spray paint, and it could be delivered to the studio in 2 hours.
So we can tag this newsroom properly.
What happened? Well, we got it all on camera. Don and Andy went crazy.
He spray paints the camera to make sure you can't see.
Right. Well, right. He's no dummy. Right, exactly. See, I told you, Andy... toughest cul-de-sac in Glenview. He knows how to learn the coppers.
Yeah, right on.
That's right. Right on.
If you believe that, I got a bridge you can tag.
877-213-4LU. Go to WGNRadio.com/holidaysonice to see that recipe. And it's delicious. Have some fun this week. And this whole holiday season, let's do that. Let's get a quick call in here before we take a break. This is Candy, who's calling in from Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Candy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
We had our kitchen remodeled a few months ago, and we had our cabinets. They're solid oak cabinets, really heavy cabinets, painted, and... So I was standing here admiring them yesterday, and I look up, and there is a crack now between the ceiling and the top of the cabinets. Are the cabinets falling off the wall?
No. Your house is just, your house is just during the winter months, even in, are you in Richmond, Virginia?
Yes.
It's cooling off a little bit?
Yeah.
So everything's shrinking because it's getting colder. And so... In the summer, if you left that crack alone in the summer, that crack will be gone. But if you want, take a little acrylic latex. Did you say the cabinets are white?
Yes.
Get a white squeeze tube of caulking and squirt a little bit in there and use your finger to kind of come across it to bridge that gap. And I bet that during the winter months, now that it's shrunk, it will stay there and cover it all in. It'll blend in. You won't even know it's there. And in the summer months, when it expands again and it closes up, you may see a little bit of the caulk kind of sticking out a little bit, or you may not. And if you do, you just scrape that away. You know, it's just an expansion and contraction of the home between the warmer months and the cooler months, and everything just moving around.
Okay, so how do I convince my husband that he's got all the dishes out? He's convinced they're going to come crashing down and that we need to have somebody reinforce them. No.
Well, if you grab those cabinets right now, did they take the cabinets off the walls?
No.
Tell your husband not that there's. Tell your husband there are at least 300 different things that I could tell him to worry about. This is not one of them.
Okay. Great. That's wonderful. That's good news.
Latex, all acrylic caulk in white in the crack, and I think you'll be good to go. Thanks so much for the phone call. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Get more information or find a retailer near you at whiskeyacres.com. Seventh caller to text the word whiskey to 877-213-4LOU will win that prize. And the people that are calling that same number, like Brad in Chicago, will put him on the air. Hey, Brad, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question. We have in our kitchen and in our bathroom, we have stone countertops, and we have white Carrara marble in the bathroom and a black granite countertops in the kitchen. They're 20 years old now, and the question is, they now have sort of a haze on them. They're not scratched, but they have, they're not mirror like they were when they got new. So the question is there something you can use to buff them, like the old rubbing compound for a car or something like that, to make them come back to being shiny and again?
I shouldn't say that. So you can hire somebody to come in and repolish all that stone. So that polish that you see, that shine from all that granite and marble, literally comes from layers and layers of polishing to get that shine. And then it's the actual stone itself that shines, just like a piece of jewelry. And to your point of, you know, over time, what happens to it and it dulls, that's the right way to do it is that. And you may spend a few thousand dollars to have that done. Or there's a company called Rejuvenate that makes a coating you can put over the top of it that you literally paint on that will also bring the shine back, but you'll redo it in 6 months.
Oh.
Because it's a countertop.
Right.
You're in what part of Chicago are you?
We're in the South Loop.
Okay. There's several companies that repolish countertops, and there's one in particular that I give out a lot, but I got a text message from the guy that said they are so busy, please, that's so nice of me to give out his name, but don't do it. So I'm not going to give out their name. And so what I would do is search concrete or countertop polishers. And they'll come in with grinding stones, and it makes a little bit of a mess. But, I mean, you know, look, if we're talking about replacing all the countertops in your home, you're going to spend $15,000-$20,000 by the time you're all done, right? And you could probably get what you have now looking really nice for $3,000 to $4,000 permanently.
Okay. All right, great.
You got it, bud. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's 9:30 in the morning. We're going to do our Just Text Me segment as well coming up after this report of WGN Radio News.
Oh, to what?
I don't know. Something else.
Australian? My favorite.
Maybe, yeah. Well, how about some text? Oh, sure. By the way, a big congratulations. We gave away the Whiskey Acres Tour to Elizabeth. She's the winner of the Tour for Four, the Seed to Spirit Tour at Whiskey Acres from Schererville, Indiana. Winner, congratulations.
Winner, winner. Whiskey dinner.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
All right, here's a text. Lou, I have a son who is a senior in high school and interested in becoming a carpenter. Should he get a certificate or other training first?
Well, if he's in high school and they offer any kind of industrial arts classes, like my buddy Mike Jay, who's an industrial arts teacher at Hampshire High School, I highly recommend that they start there. And I think that carpentry is by far the, you know, one of the best trades you can go into, although I do like plumbing, too. And I like the electrical, too. I like them all. Okay, I like them all. But I was a carpenter, so I'm a little biased to there. But I think that there is such a need for this. What I would also start to do is explore, you know, the union carpentry trade does such a terrific job of training young people in the trades. And It's difficult to get in. They get lots of applications, and the vetting process is you know, pretty strict. But it's the type of thing that you would get that kind of training and really be set for a life, a career that is, you know, the backbone. You know, the trades, in my opinion, are the backbone of the middle class. And you know, if you kind of look at politics out of it, but we're going to always be spending money on infrastructure. And so roads and bridges and buildings and all that kind of stuff, the demand for skilled labor is only going to increase. And we need more young people going into the trades. So if there are industrial arts classes in the high school, take them. Learn, get comfortable with it, and really find out if, like, oh, this is interesting. And then there's also a program called Skills USA, which is a really terrific program that many high schools participate in that gives kids the foundation of working in the trades, manufacturing, and it's a really good place to start. How about another one?
Awesome. Yes, Lou, we are having problems with my granite countertops. Love them, but they're pitting. Is there anything we can do to fill the pit holes in with?
Not really, other than you could, you know, I mentioned earlier the product Rejuvenate, which is a coating that goes over the top of that, that you could fill in the pitting. It's another little trick that they use in the business when you have a large pit in a countertop. And I would try this in an area where it is out of the way, like one that's in a corner. Take super glue, clear super glue, and fill the little pit with the super glue and let it dry. Then take a very sharp razor, flat razor with a razor holder, and scrape right across the top of it, and you'll shave the little bit of the super glue off of there, but you'll leave a little bit of coverage over it, and that should fill it in, and it's pretty hard. And that's a little trick of the trade when they find, like, imperfections to come in, and because it's clear, it kind of coats over the top of it, and it might be a little bit shinier at first, but it will blend in. How about one more?
Lastly, Lou, our hardwood floors have water damage. Is it better to sand and polish or replace? Minimal cupping and wood dried out.
Well, if the wood is completely dried out, which can literally take 2 months, then that's it, right? It's not going to settle anymore. And if the ridges are, you know, if it's less than, if you put your hand over the top of it or you put some kind of straight edge over it and you're like, wow, it's just about a quarter of an inch or so elevated, then you probably could get away with sanding it all. It's the kind of thing that really a professional sanding contractor would need to look at to determine if, in fact, yeah, we could sand this, but they may tell you that we need to replace some of the boards and then sand it anyway. So they're going to be there anyway, and fingering in and putting in new boards on top of that would be fine. And I think that you can determine that by hiring somebody there. That's all with the time we have this morning for Just Text Me. 877-213-4-LOU is the phone number. This is Jeremy in Normal, Illinois. Hey, Jeremy, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Excellent. Well, actually, I live in Riverside, but I'm calling from Normal. Anyway, I have an old house, and I put a fan-powered humidifier for the whole house in. And it constantly runs. I'm wasting probably like 50 gallons a day. Like, it goes over the filter pad and then just ejects into my sink. And I have a 5-gallon bucket that I dump constantly. I was just wondering if they make like a water saver or a water recycler.
Wait. You said a whole house fan, a whole house humidifier?
Yeah, fan powered humidifier. It's like,
that is connected to your furnace or it's separate?
It's connected to my furnace.
Okay. And it's connected to your furnace, it's fan forced, it's plugged in, and what do you have it set at?
I think it goes from 10 to 75. I have it at a minimum, like 10.
And it's running all the time?
It constantly is pouring water over the pad and ejecting it out into my sink.
And why do you have a 5-gallon bucket?
Well, I just had one sitting there to see how much water it was wasting.
And oh, I see.
It probably four
I see.
Times a day.
I see. Yeah, it's a lot of water. It goes through a lot of water. So at 10%, it shouldn't be running that high. It's not that dry yet. So something.
Yeah.
Did you install this?
I did not. I had a professional do it.
Okay, and is it running only when the blower is running, or does it run all by itself even when the blower is not running?
It runs all by itself. It's an independent.
Okay. It needs to be wired to when your furnace is running.
Okay.
So that'll cut the usage down like crazy. And quite frankly, if the blower is not running, and this is connected to your forced air system, it running is not adding any humidity to your home at all.
Okay.
So it needs to be in conjunction with the blower running. And if it's a fan force, the fan is just to take that moisture and get it into the plenum, and then the blower circulates it through the rest of the house. So something's not set up right, that it should only be running when the blower motor is engaged.
For my forced air.
Correct.
Furnace. Okay. All right. It's a wiring problem.
Yep.
Sounds great. Thank you. I was wondering. It's just, yeah.
It shouldn't be running that much. Should not be running that much. I appreciate the phone call. You know, it's funny. He said, Jeremy, I go, he's in Normal. And then he goes, well, actually, I live in Riverside, but I'm calling from Normal, Illinois, which is kind of funny. Like, we wouldn't know that, right? Like, here's the thing. The reason Lindsay asks you where you're from is that we get calls because of the radio station goes everywhere, you know, with all the smart devices. And then this particular show I'm on in New York. And so in my mind, you know, if you're calling from Florida and you're asking me about something, I can, in my head, switch to know, oh, well, you're in Florida, so I don't have to worry about ice melt or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just, it helps me be a better helper to whatever question you have. But the reason I bring that up is that last Sunday, we did this cooking class that our friends Mike and Chris won at a Misericordia event. And it was so fun. It was this lovely couple. So on Sunday at noon, we did this cooking class with this chef and his American wife in Rome, right? So it was noon here, right? And they were there, and this guy, Chef Andrea, and he, at first, he was kind of an angry chef. Like, he was very bossy, but, like, we were being accommodating because, like, they said, oh, we can do it at, like, 4 p.m. or whatever, but we felt badly because they're in Italy. It's, like, 7 hours later. You know, we're just trying to be nice. So we said, how about noon? And so, anyway, we start to warm up, and Mike J is there, and I was trying to joke around a little bit. My jokes were a little too long, and they, you know, the delay in the Zoom thing wasn't working, and Mary Beth kept saying, stop it. But then Mike would get these little jabs in there, and then the guy was laughing. And so before you know it, we're all laughing. And at the end, there's the wife who's American. She's from Michigan, and they have three children, and they're in Rome, and they've been doing these cooking classes, and we talk about the whole pandemic and what they're doing. And he's just in his kitchen, you know, and whatever. And we get done, and I go, do we really know that he's in Rome? I mean, because, you know, it was totally, just like, there was a picture of Italy behind him, but I think they could have been in Skokie, right?
Yes, it definitely has a green screen.
Right, I mean, he's Italian, or he's got an accent. I mean, I get it, you know, and whatever. But I'm like, you know, really, with the Zoom world, would you really know?
Never know.
Right. So, I mean, like, you can call in and say, hey, I'm Bill. I'm in Hawaii. Right? How would I know? I'd be like, oh, my God, you're in Hawaii. I'm going to break now. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. 877-2134-LOU. Our caller here, Jackie in Crest Hill, is going to get a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by our friends at Cobblestone Remodeling. All you have to do is give them a call, whether you're doing a kitchen or bathroom. Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help you create your vision. CobblestoneRemodeling.com is the website, or call 773-661-0606. And we're going to send that hat out to Jackie in Crest Hill. Hi, Jackie. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
How can I help you?
Well, we moved into a new place, and we are redoing the kitchen completely. New cabinets, new countertop, the whole thing. And we wanted to go with a quartz countertop. And, you know, we've picked out a pattern. But now we have to have a sink. And the problem is that people are telling me, and including the guys who are installing the quartz countertops, that a quartz sink is not the way to go. They
no.
often arrive cracked
no.
or chipped.
No. They're correct.
Whatever.
They're right.
So then he suggested a
stainless steel undermount sink.
Well, I didn't want stainless steel. Wasn't the way I wanted to go. I was going to go with an acrylic. Or a, because we had a Korean acrylic sink when we had the a different kind of countertop. And the other option for him was cast iron undermount.
Okay.
So
can I just give you a long-term observation?
Sure.
Your quartz, what color is the quartz going to be?
You mean the sink?
No, the counter.
But the countertop, it's kind of a blended cream and beige and white.
So there is going to be white in it?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so if you're going to do an undermount sink, you're going to do undermount, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so if you're not going to do stainless, which I highly recommend, then I would do a cast iron porcelain undermount sink. The acrylic plastic sink will fade over time with the chemicals you use in the cleaning solutions, and it'll look dingy. Uh-huh. And the same will happen to the cast iron, but not for years.
Will the countertop support?
Oh yeah,
the cast iron?
That's not a problem.
Oh,
that's not even a consideration. So if you went with a Kohler, which I would highly recommend because they're very good at cast iron sinks, a Kohler, whatever kind of sink you want from them, undermount cast iron, that would be the best way to go for you. I still think stainless is the better way to go, and I really like the stainless sinks from Kraus, Kraus. I think there's an E. Very good sinks. No S, no E. She says. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Quick reminder, we have that public service announcement from our friend this morning. If you got garden hoses hanging on the outside of the house, it's starting to get colder, go and unscrew them. That simple thing can keep water from coming into your basement this coming spring. I'm telling you. You don't have to put the hoses away yet if you're not quite ready, but just unscrew it. And if you've got an inside valve to the spigots on the outside, make sure you turn those off as well. Thank you so much for listening. Lindsay, thank you. This morning, Andy and Don, always nice to be working with you. And Bob Ferguson, you are the jam. We'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio. Remember, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel for House Smarts. We have a lot of good information there for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe. We'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio.